Welcome to
Wrinkled
Not Dead.
I'm Jennifer.
And I'm Mike.
We may be over 50, but we're here to prove we're still relevant.
And we have lots of real-world advice on confronting the challenges, but having fun getting older.
We're wrinkled.
Not dead.
Let's do this.
Hello and welcome to episode number 88 of Wrinkled Not Dead. I'm Mike Bell.
And I'm Jen Bell.
Hey, welcome home.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh. All right. We'll get into all of this stuff later. We've had a pause in the action, folks. And to all our loyal listeners out there, we are apologetic but exhausted because there's been a big thing in our life. We'll talk about it in a second here. But what we do is radio, TV, writing, and we're live presentations, all great stuff. Narration, which was... You've done some just before you left. It was great. WrinkledNotDead.com is the source of all our wrinkled stuff. At WrinkledNotDead is our handle for Twitter, but I hardly ever use Twitter. I have to be honest about it. The president does. I don't care.
I hardly ever use it. But if you could tell your friends and family just to listen, we would love it. And if you see us on Facebook, can you just press the share button if you like what you hear?
Yeah.
Because then everybody gets to listen to us.
Mm-hmm. I know. We're growing, which is great. But like I say, we apologize for having missed an episode or so, but we'll get into that in a second here. What we learned this week, however, and this was important because it's part of the story, is we had to do some traveling across the nation, and there's some big changes at the airport. If you have not traveled in a while, it's significant, huh?
Yeah, and particularly at Pearson Airport in Toronto International Airport in Ontario, Canada.
But here in San Diego as well,
yeah,
San Diego, California.
Absolutely, but it's when you go through Customs and Immigration that I found the big change.
Well, no, the big change I found was tagging your own bag.
Oh, that's true, too. Although,
that was different.
Yep, yeah, huh? Absolutely.
And, you know... You tag your own bag, then, of course, you have to pay for your bag, which is $25 in most airlines. And, of course, it didn't want my credit card.
No.
So, eventually, I still had to go to the desk, and I said, it didn't want my credit card. It didn't want either two of them. She said, oh, that happens all the time. I said, well, why? She said, oh, it's been around for a while. And here, just give me your credit card. And that was the end of it. I thought, this is stupid.
Sometimes it's better just to have people doing things.
I know.
Like, you know, everybody uses their computer for their day timer to sort of spell out everything they're going to do in the day.
I know.
And so many young people are now reverting back to the old time with one big, like, month at a glance, you know, so they can see it so easily.
But you have never left that world,
darling.
I never left that world.
I mean, I embrace the other world, too. But if you're going through the airport and you just ask for help, there are so many people that are there for you. Do not be embarrassed.
It's amazing.
I even had to take that cart, you know, and I always thought I'm too young.
Oh,
to
you
take
mean
it.
The little beep, 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 beep.
Exactly, because I couldn't walk. I wasn't supposed to walk and get the pressure built up in my eye and so on and so forth. And I kind of felt silly getting on, but you know what? It was okay. Nobody cares. Nobody's watching you, you know?
Well, yeah, everybody's got their own stuff
exactly.
going on. All right. Well, obviously, the major topic today is the gift of vision. And there's a great quote here. Would you do this one? Because
sure,
it's your show today.
It really is. Helen Keller. Mm-hmm. And she said, of all the senses, sight must be the most delightful.
Of course, Helen Keller was both blind and deaf.
And I tell you, close your eyes right now and imagine that you cannot see anything.
I know.
Sight is a gift.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact.
Yeah.
All about sight. And so why is this important to everybody listening there? Well, you know what? Everybody worries more about their sight than seemingly anything else. So if we're not speaking specifically to you about Jen's condition or anything to do with glaucoma, it doesn't mean that you don't need to know what we've got for you today. So green eyes are less than 2% of the population. They're the only eye color that changes color.
Hmm.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
More blue, more gray, more green, depending on the weather, and believe it or not, your mood if you have green eyes. Whoa, so that's a warning to...
Probably to do with the heat or something. You know
I don't
mean?
Know. Yeah. Green eyes are the rarest.
Isn't that interesting?
I didn't know that. Well, the reason
why we think that the gift of vision is so important, too, just to sort of trail back a little bit, is that we need our eyes for everything. 80% of what we learn from our eyesight. I mean, it comes through our eyesight.
How did you figure that out? Who told you that?
I've done a lot of research, and I've been at so many eye doctors and everything else, and either nearsighted or farsighted, you wear glasses, you have to have laser surgery, you've got glaucoma, macular degeneration, detached retinas. I mean, it...
Hey, Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff Hetherington, my friend out there. So sight affects all of us.
Mm-hmm. And you have a health minute on this as well.
I do. I found this out actually through my eye surgeon, the importance of sunglasses. If you live anywhere where there is sunshine, which is just about everywhere.
So this is Dr. Ahmed?
Dr. Ahmed and his team, yeah.
Okay.
And also my brother, who's very young and just was, they said that he's getting the beginning.
Very young, honey. He's in his 50s.
Well, yeah. He's just getting the beginnings of cataracts.
Oh, okay.
And cataracts is that film that, you know, grows over your eye and you can't see. You need to wear sunglasses. I don't care how young you are. Start at the very beginning because the sun will cause premature cataracts.
I'm the worst at this.
You really are.
Here we live in Southern California. I don't wear sunglasses because I'm too cheap to go and get a pair of sunglasses that have a prescription in them. That's the truth.
Well, you need to do it because the sun does damage to your eyes, and so you need to protect your eyes. Everybody, I don't care how young you are, wear your sunglasses.
Okay, so there's a health minute if I ever heard one. all right, so but there's so much stuff we have about, let me start this off here. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because we just talked about green eyes. All right.
Right.
If you have blue eyes, you share an ancestor with all other blue-eyed people across the world. Now, okay, you're saying, oh, well, that's kind of cool, too. If you have brown eyes, you're old school. I mean, nobody had blue eyes until about 6,000 years ago.
Only 6,000 years ago.
Well, that's why I feel.
My age, it doesn't seem that long ago.
That's yesterday, sweetie. Yeah. That's yesterday. Come on.
90 is the new 100.
All right, what do you got?
This is really interesting.
At first, I didn't get it, so make sure you...
Your retinas actually perceive the outside world as upside down. Okay? So you actually, through your retina, comes an image, and it's upside down. And your brain flips it the other side, so you can see.
Okay. Now, in addition to that, if that wasn't enough, being upside down.
Images arrive at your retina split in half and distorted.
Oh, now this is...
So it comes in at all these different angles, upside down, split, distorted, and then your brain... You know, the retina
sorts it out.
The retina goes through to your brain and it all sorts it out the way it's supposed to look.
No wonder doctors who do this stuff. I mean, it's so complicated. I can't get over it.
Yeah, it is. It's amazing. I was talking to Dr. Davies, James Davies. He's my ophthalmologist here in San Diego.
Yeah.
He's unbelievable. And we were talking about transplants and all that. And he said, the difficult thing is that the optic nerve has like a million ganglia, if you like, you know, all kinds of little things coming out from it and blood vessels and stuff.
Was his point on that is that you're not going to have a transplant optic nerve
in the very near future because it is
so complicated. Well, you never know. I mean, the way computers are nowadays, things get sorted out kind of, you know.
Exactly.
Okay, this is kind of fun. Your eyes are almost the same size as when you were born.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I know. Newborn babies can see clearly up to 15 inches away. Now, I didn't know that. But interestingly enough, if a mother is breastfeeding the baby, the baby is then able to see the mom's face at 15 inches. That's about the right distance.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
Oh, the human body is amazing.
It is great.
I have one. Your peripheral vision is very low resolution and is almost in black and white.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting? And that's very important, your peripheral. And many times when you have glaucoma, you start to lose your peripheral vision first.
You didn't, though.
I did not. Right in the middle.
Unfortunately. Okay.
And did you know your retina cannot detect the color red?
No.
It cannot. Although your retinas have red, green, blue, and color receptors, the red receptor only detects yellow, green, and the green receptor detects blue, green. Your brain combines these signals and turns them into red.
Once
Isn't
again,
that
the
amazing?
Brain thing.
I know.
why we have anything going on at all with sight is amazing in itself.
The eyes are magic. They are just a gift that it works the way it's supposed to.
So if you were blind, but you were born with sight, you probably still see images in your dreams.
Well, I would think that. In fact,
I would think that, yeah.
An Uber driver said to me, "Do you wish you would you rather go blind or deaf?" And I said, "Deaf." And she said, "Would you rather be born blind or go blind later on in life?" And I said, "Blind later on in life for many reasons, and one is your memories of what you saw."
Yeah.
Would live on in your mind.
Everyone would be the same age as when.
Yeah.
It would be cool.
Not cool.
No, nothing's cool about that. Okay. On average, this is interesting too. On average, you blink 17 times a minute.
Wow.
Now, that's 14,280 times in a 14-hour day and 5.2 million times in a year. Now, for you, that's not a great thing. The blinking thing right now because of the stitches in your eye.
Correct. I've got stitches because we'll go into what happened. But every time I blink, the stitches scratch along the inside of my eyelid, which is not comfortable. Finally, your eye is constantly making tiny, jerky movements to stop objects from fading from your vision. So your eye has to continually keep moving.
Oh, those are like those internet puzzles.
Yeah.
Where you see, stare at this and it goes away.
Yeah.
That's the reason, I guess.
Your eyes are always working. They are amazing. So this is why we're talking about it, because you need to take care of your eyes.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your eyes.
Okay. So I have glaucoma. And glaucoma affects 4 million people a year in the United States. That's a lot.
Four million people. The U.S. alone?
In the U.S. alone.
Okay. So globally, that's a huge...
It's huge. And when I say glaucoma... I have advanced glaucoma, but a lot of people have glaucoma and don't even know it. It basically is that your eye is not draining, and so there's fluid building up on your optic nerve, and that's causing pressure, causing the optic nerve to die, and you eventually go blind. And because it's very, very slow, generally, it's very slow, you don't even notice it until
there
you're well into it.
Not a lot of symptoms. Huh?
Correct. And you need to go to your ophthalmologist, and they do pressure checks, and the pressure should be 15 or under, and if it's under 15, then you probably don't have glaucoma. However, there are some people that have high pressures that have glaucoma and low pressure that has glaucoma. The only way to find out if you have glaucoma or not is to do a field vision test. That's the one where you cover one eye and you see these little kind of dots and you press a button every time you see it.
Was it the squiggly line now still?
Some are squiggly, some are that. And also your ophthalmologist will look at your optic nerve, and there's a lot of things in determining whether or not you have glaucoma. Babies can be born with glaucoma, so you have to test your infants right away.
So it's not just older folks?
It's not older folks. They used to think it was an older folk thing. Of course, generally it is.
Most
things are.
When we go to Dr. Davies, everybody there's silver hair.
But you know, they're finding it earlier on with the technology that is going so quickly right now. They're finding glaucoma in its early stages. And there are so many other things that you can get, you know, go wrong with your eyes. Macular degeneration when you get older, there's nothing they can do about that. But when you're young, there's a lot you can do to preserve your eyesight, because as you get older, you're going to get these kind of problems surface.
Yeah, I know. So the whole journey this time, again, this is now the third time that you've done procedures.
Mm-hmm.
With Dr. Ahmed up at the Prism Eye Center in Mississauga, Ontario, Canada. All three of these times were, you know, very traumatic to you. But this particular one was a repair of the first one, correct?
Well,
or
a revision.
Yeah, not a repair.
Basically what they did for me, they do a thing called MIG surgery, that it's a micro shunt. It's a tiny shunt that they put in your eye. They put a tiny bleb, which I try to explain is like a little cut, a little reservoir, and then they put this tiny shunt around your eye to drain it out. The old way of doing a bleb, they would put a big bleb or a big reservoir, and it would kind of sort of spill out over your eye and cause all kinds of potential problems.
You mean literally tear outside your...
Yeah, and certainly it caused an early onset of cataract. This sort of has a lot less problems involved in it. And so we don't have it available here in the United States, but it is available in Canada, in France,
Great
Britain,
the UK, I think.
A bunch of different places, and hopefully, and it will be available here. So I've been going up to Canada to Dr. Aik Ahmed. He is one of the very best glaucoma surgeons in the world. Everybody comes from all over the world for glaucoma and other other things for eye surgery because he takes on a lot of difficult surgeries.
One of his folks said that he gets the cases nobody else wants.
Nobody else wants. He's a very young man. He's in his 40s, and he's brilliant. So if you need to see somebody that can help you, Prism Eye Center in Mississauga. But anyways, both surgeries were a success. However, in my left eye, I have a very weak optic nerve, and it needs to be, the pressures need to be abnormally low.
Okay. So after, so you said that the benchmark is about 15?
15.
Okay, yours needs to be about where?
They'd like it in single digits, like 9, 8, or 7. And that's very difficult to obtain. So with everything, when you have surgery, you get scar tissue. And I built up scar tissue in my left eye, and it was not, even though I have scar tissue in my right eye, it's fine. It's draining enough. Everything is good. This one has to be absolutely spot on, perfect, incredible, lots of drainage.
Now, part of the reason for that is because you're young. I mean, it sounds crazy, but
I
you're
am.
61 years old. But nonetheless, you're young for this stuff, and the scar tissue becomes an issue. Just like if you have an injury elsewhere on your body, the younger you are, the more likely you are to have some scar tissue build up.
Correct. If I was older, I would not have developed the scar tissue because I wouldn't be as healthy.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
And so he went in, his team went in, and they took out all the scar tissue in the bleb and the shunt. And whenever you cut through scar tissue and that, it's not comfortable. Now, they keep you comfortable, but you need to be awake through this entire surgery because they have to make sure that you're moving your eye this way and that way and up and down. But it got done, and I'm really glad I did it. And so far, so good. But my point being is you need to keep on top of this. I am somebody who I'm so anal about my health that I could have easily gone blind in my left eye. And you say, okay, well, you got two eyes. No.
No, you don't.
You
don't.
You
really.
Need both
you need
of them.
You need both of them.
You really do for driving,
consider driving
and everything
yeah.
else. Yeah, you really do. So I guess why we're talking about this is if you have glaucoma, get on it right away. If you don't know if you have it or not, go get tested for it. Get on the drops. Many people only have to be on drops.
But that's a drag, too, I have to say.
It's expensive.
It's expensive, and you're doing it all the time. You have timers going off.
But you know what? If drops, eyesight, do the drops.
Yeah.
You know, if, the sooner you catch it, the better. They caught it early for me, but I just have a very, they call my eye the bad boy.
The bad boy.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I'm not going to argue with that point. So, I mean, I'm looking at you and I can actually see the plumbing, which is so odd.
Yeah. It is absolutely amazing because if it was 100 years ago, I would have been blind.
Oh, yeah. There's no question about it. But let me just
sure.
to finish the point. I mean, having the surgery is one thing. I've joined you for part of the time that you were there because there's no way you can pick up anything over 5 pounds, you can't bend over.
Not when you have stitches in
it. It's really, the recovery from this is more dramatic, in my opinion, than the surgery itself, even though it's horrendous with somebody, you know, advancing on your eyeball and doing what they need to do. It's still, I mean, you're going to be weeks and weeks before this is all over with, aren't you?
Yeah, they say that the recovery is the most important thing. You have to really follow the rules, not bend over, not lift, not, you can't exercise. Well, you can walk, obviously. And then we have a friend who has a detached retina. Many people our age get detached retinas. If you're very myopic like I am, which means I can see really well up close, but I can't see far, you're more prone to a detached retina. Why? We don't know. And so I've been talking to our friend, and he had to have, they had to put a little bubble behind his eye. And
some gas thing.
A gas bubble. And we've had quite a few friends, and they haven't been old. I mean, they've been in their early 50s and that get a detached retina. And what you see when you know you're going to, when you have a detached retina, is you get a gigantic floater. And those of you who have floaters out there know what they are. They're these like squiggle things that go across your eye. And some people have a lot, some people little. They're sometimes dark, they're sometimes light, and they're just these.
But it's dramatic, and you can.
Yeah, you absolutely know something is up. So if that happens, you get to an emergency right away.
Yeah.
Because there's always an emergency eye surgeon for a detached
retina. I heard that.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a story, too, about somebody who was taking a transatlantic flight.
Yes.
And it happened to that person, and there was no way.
There was no way they were beyond the point of no return over the water, and they were going very far away, and they ended up going blind.
Amazing, huh?
Yeah, it is. It is just amazing. So I just wanted to bring awareness to your eyes and to, first of all, be so grateful that you can see.
Yeah.
If you're in a bad mood or you feel you're jealous that you're not somewhere you should be financially, or you don't think you're pretty enough, skinny enough, young enough, whatever it is, if you can see, trust me, you have everything.
Yeah.
It is a gigantic gift. Please go out and look around today and look at the bright, beautiful colors and say, you know what? I've got my sight. Mm-hmm. I've got everything. I know it sounds crazy and ooga booga and, you know, okay, but I'm telling you, when you don't have it or you're threatened, you could lose it, man, it becomes the most important thing.
Even though we're together for 33 years, I take it for granted, and, you know, I do.
I know.
Even with, you know, your day-to-day, our conversation day-to-day is a lot about eyesight because
yes.
of going through what you're going through. I mean, you have all these stitches in there, and it's very uncomfortable, right?
Oh, exactly. And the world is a beautiful thing, and people are gorgeous to look at, and wrinkles are fantastic to see, you know? I mean, I know it sounds crazy, I guess, emotional, and you know, I just want you to understand, if you have your sight, you have everything.
Okay. Well, now, putting a positive spin on this.
Okay.
What are things you can do to help yourself out with the eyesight? Well, mm-hmm. you can begin, believe it or not, with eating well.
Yes, very important.
Anybody's going to say, well, that's good for anything, but leafy green vegetables like spinach, kale, and collards are important.
Mm-hmm.
Salmon, tuna, other oily fish.
Mm-hmm. Always good for everything.
Yeah, okay. Eggs, nuts, beans, non-fat protein, oranges, citrus fruit. I didn't know that. Oysters and pork. Well,
pork.
Just scratch that one off your list here. So it's a well-balanced diet. That's what really counts.
And also keeping your weight down, too.
Oh,
People that tend to be obese tend to have a high blood pressure, and high blood pressure also affects your pressure in your eyes.
Okay. Quit smoking.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I had no idea about that.
Well, imagine what smoke does billowing into your eyes.
Well, it makes you more likely to get cataracts, mm-hmm. damage to your optic nerve, and macular degeneration if you smoke.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing that it's not only tobacco, so you want to consider that as well.
Exactly.
Wear sunglasses, another one.
It
seems to me that they can't reiterate that
mm-hmm.
enough, huh? Safety eyewear. Well, you know, it sounds goofy, but you're out there doing gardening. Ha-ha.
Our friend, Marianne.
Marianne.
Uh-huh. My hairdresser, Marianne Hawkins. Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Marianne.
She was gardening, and she got something in her eye, and now the corner of her eye is all blistered like a little pus pocket.
Yeah.
And I don't know what has happened. She went to the doctor today, but wear protective eyewear when you're gardening.
Okay. Look away from the computer screen. Makes mm-hmm. sense. I mean, after a while, it becomes a real eye strain, I guess. So that's a good point as well. And make sure that your prescription is up to date, which, again, I am remiss and stupid. I have to do this myself. I've got to go and get my vision checked. I mean, we do this for a living,
mm-hmm.
reading stuff,
well,
reading hard stuff.
Yeah.
Like Navy stuff, all those videos and all that. So I have to do that as well. But try to apparently look away every 20 minutes or so, look for 20 feet, they suggest, for about 20 seconds. Well, that's not hard to do.
And they also say don't use your long-distance glasses
mm-hmm.
for reading because you're putting eye strain. Well, I've tried that before because I don't like those progressive lenses because I've got really good close eyesight. So often I'll have my distance glasses on and I'll try to read something without, you know, taking them off. And you're not supposed to do that. That's really bad. It puts a lot of stress on your optic nerve.
Now, you're a big reader, too. So how are you working out having your left eye be wonky? Do you cover it up?
Well, at night, when you have glaucoma surgery, at night you have to wear this sort of clear patch and you tape it
on with
tape.
Which is uncomfortable.
Yeah. And I was telling my friend Jeff, who had to wear the same thing for his detached retina, is to get paper tape. If you're wearing this shield at night, guys, if you're out there getting ready to have surgery, get paper tape because regular tape,
surgical tape
will tear your skin off. But what I do is I have to cover my eye at night. I have to sit sort of sleeping up a little bit because of the pressure until it's all kind of healed and all the stuff is drained. But I put a little cover over my eye, like a little blanket, a very light blanket. And then I just read out of my right eye, which is probably not a good thing. But sometimes
well, I'm
you
sure
just need
that
a diversion.
Your left eye is moving around the same. And of course, you sleep with dogs.
And I sleep with dogs. Oh, and one other thing that's really important, have really good light when you're working. It's very, very important. They say always have good ambient lighting. The quality of light matters to your eyes just as much as the quality of air matters to your lungs, and the quality of food matters to your body.
Oh, that's a good point. Got any more?
Well, it says outdoor distance vision makes for happy eyes. And it's, again, like Mike said, is when you're outside. Like if you're working on your computer, if you can possibly go outside for a few minutes and just look out beyond on a horizon and get some fresh air on those eyes, very, very important.
I think that we have one of our dogs that's almost 17 years old.
Yeah.
And her eyesight is all screwed up and messed up. But going outside for her, I think, makes a significant difference in having just the air on it, I think, makes it nicer.
It really does. When we were up in Canada and I had my eye surgery, it was great to go outside in the cold because it was like putting an ice pack on my eyeball.
It was cold.
It was beautiful. I just love Canada.
It was beautiful. Yeah,
love Ontario. Wonderful people.
Wonderful
hotel.
Just
great. Yeah.
They were so kind to you.
Yeah.
Everybody up there was really kind. All the Uber drivers were so nice.
Everybody at the airport, everybody was kind. If you just tell people what you're going through, if you explain your situation to people, everybody wants to help.
Yeah.
Because there's goodness in all of us.
Yeah, I know. So in some ways, it was a very enriching experience, no matter what. I mean, and obviously the outcome, hopefully, fingers crossed, but absolutely, ICOMED's the best. So things will continue to improve after this recovery period, which is significant, still a few weeks.
Yeah, I think these things come to us to ground us.
Yeah.
As yet another lesson on, you know what, don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah, okay. Time off. Not a lot, but I mean.
Well, I have a good one, and you have a good one. What I liked was the Olympic coverage. I've been really enjoying the skating, and the, what do you call the thing with the
curling?
Curling.
Curling is
it was
therapeutic,
so interesting.
Man. I'm
telling
you, people laugh about curling. My mother loved curling. I was actually in a curling league when I was younger. And it's first of all, it's stinking hard. And it's a lot of strategy and all this. But it's, you know, the rock weighs 45 pounds.
It's so, and Mike says, you know, your arms, it takes a lot of upper body strength.
Just, it's just great. You know, people sweeping away and all that. I mean, but I have to say, I don't know why, but the Olympics have been just, the TV ratings have been not very good this year. And I don't know why.
I don't understand it.
These are the best in the world.
I know. It's so great to look at the human body in its best form, doing incredible things that we couldn't even think of doing.
Yeah, I know.
And
the
figure
skating alone is just.
Figure skating is so beautiful.
Yeah, people just go nuts about it. I mean, having, you know, some of the slalom downhills and all that kind of stuff, it kind of goes blur in my head.
Well, if you don't understand the sport, but there's something for everybody in the Olympics, so check it out.
Mine, time off. Oh boy, did I was so glad I found this for you, because you read voraciously, and you're always saying, oh, Mike, I need a new book. And so I go on and figure something out off Kindle somewhere, because we all read off our tablets, right? I haven't had a physical book for decades.
And you know what, by the way, if you're having trouble seeing, I wasn't reading for the longest time until I actually had Kindle on my tablet, and then I could make the print bigger, I could make the
you
background
reverse out
darker.
The background. Okay. Yeah.
So if you find yourself not sort of getting into books, maybe try a different mode of reading, like the Kindle.
Yeah, it's a.
It helps with retention.
Well, actually, we're reading off iPads because
iPads,
we have
yeah.
to have the backlight.
So anyways, it really helps if you have a device that you can manipulate so you can see.
So we love
it
technology.
Crazy,
No, it's not crazy to me. I'm the one who dragged you into that damn thing. But here's mine. The Woman in the Window.
Ooh,
speaking of reading, oh my goodness. It's written by A.J. Finn, F-I-N-N. I think this is his first book, too.
Oh, it has something.
My
I finished
first,
it.
First solo novel.
Book. I finished it. It has something for everybody.
Oh, gosh. I can hardly tear myself away from it. It's really good. So one more time. The Woman in the Window. And I know so it's the girl on the train. It's the this. The, No. This has got some guts to it, pals.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to love it. So pick that one up if you can. Okay.
Remember when?
Well, I do have memories of this. Kaleidoscopes.
Mm-hmm. Remember, guys, when you used to look with one eye, we're talking about eyes, in the good eye, into a little kaleidoscope and you'd have all these different colors and stuff?
And it would just be little pieces of glass floating around there, wasn't it?
Yeah, but
it was cool. It was in a paper tube.
It was in a paper tube. It was so cool. You know what? And I just remembered this. Remember when you could use slides and you'd look through a little, like a two-eye thing, and you could look at slides?
Oh, stereoscopic.
Yeah, from like your trips and stuff with slides. That was kind of cool.
Disney made a pile out of
that. They made a
stuff.
Pile of that. And way back, my mother used to have one of those old-fashioned ones that you'd put the big cards in. And you'd look through, and it would make two images together. It would make them like 3D.
Stereoscopic.
I don't know. It just came to me
now. Something like that. I remember seeing one of those a long time
and
ago. Yeah, they were wooden, but they'd have the images side by side, so your brain has to figure it all out.
Exactly.
And
your eyes worked it out.
And your eyes worked it out, and you would see this thing as a 3D image.
Yeah, it was amazing. So I just thought, God, remember when?
Yeah, I know. So let me give you a quote to wrap up my part of the show. My eyes are my favorite part of me, not for how they look, but for how they see.
God, yeah. I get emotional.
I know you do.
Well, so important.
Yeah,
it's just so important. So I'm going to wrap one up. I've got a good one.
Well, before you do,
okay.
I have to thank you for doing this because I know this is hugely important to you. And I have to say that, you know, you explain things extraordinarily well.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no, credit where credit is due. But also, you just have such a vast store of knowledge about this. And so I will reiterate, if anybody wants to get hold of Jen, who may have some trouble, you can always email me and I'll figure it out with you. Michael@michaelbell.com. Just any question, anytime, Jen is on it. Michael@michaelbell.com. Take it away.
Wonderful. All right. So I've got a lighthearted one here. No one ever injured their eyesight by looking on the bright side of things. Take care of your eyes. Your eyesight is a gift. Because you know what? We're all in this together.